Amen. Thank you, brother. Take your Bibles to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. Now, in Sunday school, I did the first part of this message. We're going to have part two here in this hour. Acts 18. Hopefully you have found it. Acts 18. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Acts 18. We're going to look at the first three verses. And the title of this series is Side by Side. And as you look around, some of you are sitting in the row next to someone, side by side. You're driving a car, side by side. And that's the idea of this couple that I want to preach about in Acts chapter 18. The Bible says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila. Aquila was born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. So there's that dynamic duo, Aquila and Priscilla. They came because the emperor Claudius had commanded all Jews had to depart from Rome. And it says that Paul came unto them in verse 3, because he was of the same craft, the same trade, Paul abode with them and labored and worked together, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And so in the Sunday school hour, I gave the first three things about this couple. Number one, their names are always mentioned together in Scripture. Whenever you see Aquila, you will find Priscilla. And every time you find Priscilla, you'll find Aquila. Does anybody remember from the Sunday school hour how many times? Okay, six times they're mentioned and mentioned together. Number two, they had experienced hard times together. They'd gotten married, they lived in Rome, and then they were expelled from Rome, and they had to move. So they moved their business, they moved themselves, they had experienced hard times together. And number three, they labored together. They labored together. They were of the same craft, the same trade. This is a husband and wife in the same family business. And that's where we left off in Sunday school. So you got one, two, and three, and we will begin with four after we pray. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the 250th anniversary. Thank you for this song. Lord, it was just a few days ago. I was in a place where someone was explaining to me and teaching me about slavery. And Lord, I was able to see some artifacts from slavery. And Lord, living in Virginia, Lord, not even a mile from my home, I saw artifacts, and I can take people there today, Lord, and still see the artifacts of slavery. And here's a man, Lord, who sold people, and he came to the knowledge of your Son. He understood his sinful place. He cried out to you for salvation, and Lord, you penned in his heart amazing grace, and we all understand what a wretch we are. We thank you for this communion that we've been able to partake in. We understand that your life and your body was given, broken for us, and that this juice that we took is symbolism of your blood that was shed for us, and we know that we are nothing. And as David said, who am I? Who am I? Lord, who are we? We're nothing but dust. But you loved us. You gave your Son for us. And human life is very, very precious. It's very valuable. God, I thank you for each person that's here today. I thank you for each family represented. I thank you for those who want to be here today, for those that maybe are listening online. God, I pray that as we turn our hearts now toward your word, that through Aquila and Priscilla and their life and their ministry and what the Scriptures say, you will teach us, you will impress things upon our hearts, that when we walk off the campus grounds today, off of this church property, we will go with a song in our heart, with spiritual feelings. And God, I would pray that you would do something amazing within us and within us as a congregation. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So we left off on the fourth principle I want to bring to you. Fourthly, this Aquila and Priscilla became lifelong friends and ministry partners with the Apostle Paul. Now, there's a lot of people I'd like to partner with. I've seen some amazing ministries in my life. Some of you are probably familiar with Samaritan's Purse. Have you ever heard of that? Where they make the Christmas what? Shoeboxes. How many of you guys have ever participated in a Christmas shoebox? That might not mean much to you. Most of you probably wouldn't want a Christmas shoebox. It's items that you probably just have around your house somewhere. But I've been overseas. I've been in foreign lands, and I've seen these boxes come in these huge containers coming off of ships coming from America. I've seen them taken into the public schools where every child, every teacher, they all want a box. And I said to myself many times, what a blessing. This is going out all over the world. I wonder how many Christmas boxes were sent out in the name of Christ this year. And would you not like to have as one of your missionaries, the Apostle Paul, that he would come back to your church and report to you of the things that he's been doing for the Lord? And so they became a partner with him, a deep and lasting friendship. It was more than just working in the tent making business together. They were working for the Lord in ministry. And when you work in ministry, you will create many close friends. Dear friends, friends you would have never met if you weren't involved in ministry. Lordson, don't mean much to you. Maybe I'll have Lordson come by and see you from India. I knew him when he was a teenager. He's turned 40 now. Costell, some of you know. I remember Costell when he was a young man. And now he's getting close to my age. He's getting close to 50. Costell, Roy. Maybe in your mind you can think of people you have partnered with in ministry. I think of Village Bible Church. It means a lot to my wife and I. I remember when I first came here. I remember when the church did not have a pastor and was looking for a pastor. And they were in that transition period and being a part of that. How many of you were here back in those days? There's two in the back and a few here in the front, but just a few of you. Many of you have come since those days. And so there's a history that goes on, and you get to be a part of that history, and you get to see things. And some of our closest friends, my wife and I's close, they're in this room. Brother Jacob, how do you guys know Brother Jacob over here? I remember Jacob and Candy when they were just getting started. They were a blank slate. They were not married yet. And I went to Moldova with Jacob. And I got to see him in a foreign country. And Brother JJ, something about working together for the Lord. Something about going places and doing things and seeing what happens when you go and preach and take the gospel. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And so here's a couple that got moved out of Rome because of a leader's decision, got completely pushed out of a country, and they had to choose somewhere to go. I wonder how they chose Corinth. I wonder how Corinth came about. I don't know. That's where they ended up. And guess who they met there? Paul. And sometimes things happen to us. We get moved out. We get pushed out. We get put in a different area. But God has someone there for us to meet, and we would have never met them if we didn't get put there. The Apostle Paul describes this couple. Here's what he says in Romans 16, verse 3. He says, Aquila and Priscilla, here's what he said, my helpers in Christ Jesus. That's what he said about them. How would you like to have your name written in Scripture? My helpers in Christ Jesus. I hope you're a helper in Christ Jesus. I don't think it could be a better title for your life than to be a helper in Christ Jesus. Now that's a partner. That's what he said about them. That's what the Holy Spirit wrote about them. That's what God pinned down so that you and I could hear it this morning. My helpers in Christ Jesus. Aquila and Priscilla are mentioned in the last chapter that the Apostle Paul wrote. You might know what that book is? The last book that he wrote. Second what? Second Timothy. What chapter? Chapter 4. Only 4 chapters. That's a very famous chapter because it says in it, preach the word. Remember that one? Well, in the last few lines of the last book that the Apostle Paul penned, it is written in there, greet Prisca and Aquila. It's in verse 19. I think there might be 21 or 22 verses in that chapter. And he mentions their names, and he's not far from his execution, because of his faith. And he pins down their names at the very end of a document. Now look, you might know a lot of people, but if you get to be in their last will and testament, you find your name written in their trust or written in their, there's special meaning to that. And these folks had become near and dear to each other because of ministry. And so they became lifelong friends. They became ministry partners. And so Paul sent his greetings even in the last hours of his life. And what I'm saying to you is that ministry binds our hearts together. When you go out as a church and maybe do caroling through the city streets, maybe when you go out as a church and you go to the pregnancy care center and you work together. Maybe when you go out as a church and you do jail ministry together. Maybe when you go out as a church and you visit the sick and you do ministry together. It binds your hearts together. I have some dear friends in Virginia. I haven't seen them in many, many years. But we went to the county jail every Sunday morning. For 2 years, when I was a young man, 17, 18, 19 years of age, every Sunday morning, 7 a.m., we were at the county jail together. We had one man who plucked a guitar. We had one large black man who gave a testimony. He said the same thing every Sunday. He didn't change his testimony. Every Sunday, I can tell you what he's going to say. I could almost repeat it. And then we had another black man. And the four of us were at the county jail. And I didn't know them. The one man was just a guy who came to the grocery store, and I used to take out his groceries, and he'd invite me to come to preach at the county jail. His name was Don Foster. And one Sunday, I took him up on that, and I went to the county jail, and I went with him for like 2 straight years before my life moved from that county. And now those 2 years of ministry, you know what they did to our hearts, the four of us? It bound our hearts together because we were there with the prisoners. We got to see the prisoners. We got to hear what, you know, you never know what's going to happen on a prison on Sunday morning. You know who's in the prison on Sunday morning? Oh, you don't know who's in prison on a Sunday morning? All those people that were drunk on Saturday night. A lot of people get drunk on the weekends, yes or no? Because they've done with work. Now they got some money. They buy some alcohol. They get themselves in trouble. They end up in jail. And they don't want to hear no preaching at 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning. Because they've been up late at night. And can you imagine my voice coming in there and preaching? You couldn't hide in the prison and get away from my voice. They could hear me all the way in the back. And I would preach loud enough so they could. But it was something about that binding us together. And so I'm telling you that those three, Priscilla, Aquila, and Paul. Number five, they traveled together. They traveled together. Look at Acts chapter 18. Look at verse 18. Okay. It says, and Paul, after this, tarried there. Are you in Acts 18, verse 18? It says, he tarried there yet a good while, and then he took leave of the brethren, and he sailed thence into Syria. And notice who went with him. Priscilla and Aquila. How many of you have ever traveled with somebody else? Okay, how many of you have ever been on a cruise with someone? Raise your hand. Okay, some of you get on a cruise with some people. Have you ever been on vacation with some people? Some of you had some people in your house over Christmas break, right? You don't normally have them in your house. They came for 3 or 4 days. When you travel with people, you really get to know people. I mean, you might think you know them in church, but when you travel with them, you'll really get to know them. And so these people had traveled with the Apostle Paul. Look at verse 19. And he came to Ephesus. And you know what he did with them in Ephesus? He left them in Ephesus, and he did on some more traveling. So they traveled for the Lord. Here is a couple that did some traveling. They didn't do a lot of traveling, but they did some traveling for the Lord. I want to say to you that when you're in the Lord's ministry, you never know what little town, village, place, location, you never know where you might end up. I never got on a plane until I was like 19 years of age. And I fly so much now that they put me up in the front of the plane. It's true. I mean, I'm on a plane, my wife and I are on a plane almost every week. And you never know who you're going to meet. Never know the places. We have been to so many places. I've asked my wife several times. I said, honey, did you ever think in your lifetime you'd ever be in this place? No. And then I asked her, I think it was yesterday, day before yesterday, can you imagine all the places we've been this last year? We can't even remember all the places that we've been. And you know why we're in those places? Because God has taken us to those places. God will take you to places you never even thought about visiting. What travels and places and destinations and locations and countries will you be in the name of the Lord? Your pastor and Brother Jacob ended up in Moldova. How many of you guys ever been to Moldova? Two people. Nobody goes to Moldova. Do you guys remember when all the people over in the Europe, they were all flooding into Europe, all the people were transitioning out of Iraq and all those places from the war? Do you remember all that on the news? Nobody went to Moldova. Moldova is a forgotten about little country village. Yet your pastor and your deacon ended up in Moldova, and it was my joy to take them to the small country. I've taken my kids to different places in the world on missions trips, and they were always interested in the second place that we were going, not the first place. Because the first place I was taking them was to Moldova. The second place I was taking them was to Paris, France. Or I took them to India. And they're looking at the maps, and you can even have some visions in your mind of what you could see in those places. But what are you going to see in Moldova? Let me tell you what my kids met in Moldova. They met an outhouse. You know what that is? Maybe if you don't know what that is, you could ask somebody afterwards that's older. They can tell you. And so, then you get home, and you ask the kids who just went on a missions trip. We were gone for 3 weeks. Well, what place did you like the most? And I asked my kid, you know where they always like the most? Moldova. They like Moldova. So they were thinking about where they were going to get to, and they were going to just skip over Moldova, do some work there, and move to the next. It was Moldova. The places that God only knows that you'll go. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed where God will take you in ministry. I remember taking an 80-some-year-old guy down to the border of Mexico on his very first missions trip in his life. He'd never gone on a missions trip. He's 80-some years old, first missions trip. I took two 70-year-olds down to Brazil in the heat to do labor for the Lord. And I'm sitting in the airport with these 70-year-olds. I didn't know they were 70-year-olds. I thought maybe early 60s. Because their wives were both younger than those guys. And so I knew the age of their wives, but then I asked them their age. And one of them told me, he's like 20 years older than his wife. I said, how old are you? I said, no. He says, yes, sir. I said, I'm in trouble. I've got you down here in the heat to work. You might not even survive. I got to try to get you home alive. And he ended up coming to my class a lot and stayed in the air conditioning where I was teaching because it got too hot out there for him. But the places you'll go in the name of the Lord. These three traveled. Sixthly, I want you to notice Aquila and Priscilla helped a fellow by the name of Apollos understand more truth. One day, while they were attending a synagogue, that's where the Jews would get together to worship. They were attending a synagogue in Ephesus. They heard this fellow that came in, and he was a powerful preacher. He was an orator. I mean, he used tremendous words, and they heard him speak. But the problem was this. He only knew about the baptism of John the Baptist. That's as far as his knowledge had come to. He didn't know about all the other things. And so his knowledge of the truth was deficient. And notice in Acts chapter 18, take a look now, verse 24, Acts 18, verse 24, the Bible says, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born where? At Alexandria. The Bible says he was an eloquent man, that's speaking to his speaking abilities, and he was mighty in the scriptures that he knew well. He came to Ephesus, but look at verse 25. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. He was fervent in the Spirit, and he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the what? The baptism of John. Hey, look, by this time, as you get to Acts chapter 18, what had happened after John the Baptist? A lot. And he didn't know about that. The Bible says in verse 26, and he, Apollos, began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them, do you see that? And explained unto him the way of God more what? Perfectly. Okay? So they took him aside, they got him in a private setting, and they began to teach him as a couple. Here is a husband-wife couple taking this man that's a great a preacher and speaker and expounded and explaining the scriptures to him and giving it to him so he could have it more clearly or more accurately. What a joy as a husband and wife be able to take someone else and explain to them the Bible. Did you know that you could do that? You can do that as a Sunday school teacher. You can do that as discipling someone. You can do that by meeting someone here in the church and taking them to lunch. And you find out where they're at spiritually. Where are they at spiritually? And you know, I can give you some understanding about this subject or that topic. And you can pour into somebody else's life. And that's what Aquila and Priscilla did. They poured into somebody else's life. What was his name? Apollos. Do you have an Apollos in your life? Some of you know your Bibles well. There's a lot of people in America that don't know their Bibles well. And you can be an impact. You can be an influence into their life. I don't know if I've ever told you the story. I was down in a place I'd never visited before. Anybody ever heard of Glenville, Georgia? Nobody ever been to Glenville? It's a one-stoplight town. They had three barbers in Glenville. Now you should say, that's amazing. A one-stoplight town has three barbers. That's what came up on my phone. I Googled, I need to get a haircut. And so I wanted to go to a real barber. And they had some kind of salon. Does they call it salon? I call it a saloon. But anyhow, salon. I decided I'm going to call the salon and ask the woman at the salon which barber I should get my hair cut at. So I called the lady up. She says, hello, this is so-and-so. I said, lady, I got a strange request for you. I said, I'm in this town. It's the first time I ever come to this town. And I want the best barber you have in this town. She said, oh, sir, we can cut your hair. I said, I know you can cut my hair, but I want to go to a barber. Oh, sir, we have a lady here, and she's a good barber, and she's free. She can cut your hair right now. I said, I know. I just called because I wanted you to recommend to me another place to go. And she said, well, where are you? I said, well, I'm coming up on the stoplight. She said, oh, you're but a minute away from us. Why don't you just come on over? I said, okay. So I drove over, and sure, I go into this place. It's full of women. It's full of women. I didn't want to be in a place full of women. I'm sorry about it. I want to go to a barbershop. It's full of women. And they got them things on their heads sitting across there. And there's women to the left. And they come in, and they were waiting for me when I came through the door. I'm the only guy in the place. I feel a little uncomfortable. But anyhow, let's get this job over with. So I'm going to witness to whoever this lady is. And so I ask her about herself. She finally asked me about myself. That's how it works. And so I started to talk to her. And the lady that was next to her was listening. She was listening. And I told them that I train pastors. And the lady stopped her cutting and she said, did you say you train pastors? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I have a son who next week is getting voted in to be the pastor. He's 22 or 23 years old, and he's never had any training. And she said, could you help my son? I said, I'd be glad to. And she began to weep there in the salon. She said, my son and I, we've been praying and we've been fasting every day, once a week, for months, that God would send someone to train my husband in ministry. I have been working with him now for, I think, 18 months, maybe longer. And I meet with him every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock on FaceTime. You know what that is? And we have one-on-one training in ministry. You know how many times I've met this young man face-to-face? Once. In Glenville, Georgia, at a Dairy Queen. And I've been training him since then. I'm telling you, folks, you can make a difference in people's lives. You can influence people. You can take people aside and you can visit with them. There are people out there who want to learn. Nobody, when I was a young man, picked me up. I accepted Christ when I was 15 and I knew hardly anything about Christianity. And when I was 17, I still didn't know hardly anything about Christianity. I went to Bible college and couldn't tell you the books of the Bible in order. I went to the Bible college and didn't know what NT or OT stood for. Do you know what NT and OT stands for? I didn't know. I'm at Bible college and didn't know that. And if somebody would have came along and said, look, let me meet you for lunch and let me explain this book to you. Because it's a big book, yes or no? Does anybody in this room know everything in this book? I don't think so. But some of you know some things in this book and you can teach those things. And this is what they did. They took their time, took this man aside and poured into his life. We're able to help others in the faith. Sharing the word together and strengthening others. Hey, look. It takes a unique relationship between a husband and wife to be able to even talk spiritual. There's a lot of Christian people. There's a lot of people who go to church. But you get them outside the church and they don't even talk about spiritual things. You know why? They ain't got much spiritual things to talk about. And our conversation, we should be having conversations as couples or as families on spiritual things. Yes or no? This is an intimacy. You know what attracted me to this woman over here? Not just her beauty, but was her spiritual conversation. I took her to a church, one of the Baptist churches there in Lynchburg, Virginia. We got out of church, we came out to the car, and we began to share something about the message that we heard that day. And you want to guess how long we were in the vehicle that day? We noticed that there was cars coming back in the parking lot. You know what time it is when cars are coming back in the parking lot? It's evening service, 6 o'clock. And we didn't even know that we'd been there that long. And what had we been doing for the 5 or 6 hours we were in the parking lot? She had her Bible, and I had my Bible, and guess what we had been doing? We weren't kissing. We've been talking about spiritual things. Did you know that there's some Christian marriages, they have no relationship in this realm whatsoever. They never talk about spiritual things. This is a unique couple that both husband and wife, because it says them. They both took him under, and they're both talking to him. And there's a lot of people I go to meals with, I can go to homes with, I can go out to eat with, and they never talk about spiritual things. This is an intimacy that we need to be able to have spiritual talks with others. Notice the seventh thing here about Aquila and Priscilla. And maybe you didn't know this one. This one's over in Romans chapter 16. If you'll turn there, Romans chapter 16. I want you to see it with your own eyes. Maybe this will be the first time you've thought about this. Maybe the first time you've known about this. But look at Romans chapter 16. The seventh thing I want you to know about Aquila and Priscilla is they risked their lives. You ever risked your life? Some of you people who are crazy and climb out on things, you've risked your lives a few times. I see more people risk their lives trying to take a photo. Yes or no? I mean, every year they have people fall in the Grand Canyon because they're trying to get a photo. How would you like to, you know, you're getting buried. Well, how did he die? Well, he was trying to take a picture of himself. I mean, that'd be a terrible way to die. But this couple risked their lives. Look at Romans 16, verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. But look at verse 4. Who have for my life laid down what? Their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. That's just one little short phrase in the book of Romans. In other words, this couple had put themselves in harm's way. Somehow, they'd put themselves in harm's way to help Paul in the ministry. Now, the Bible never tells us, and we don't know when this occurred, but I can tell you this, Paul was extremely thankful, and he said the churches were thankful. So here is a couple who endangered their own lives to save Paul's life. I think of John 15, the Lord Jesus in the upper room. He says that we're supposed to love one another. Yes or no? As I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this. What's that? That a man lay down his own life for his friends. You're my friends, he said, if you do whatsoever I command you. They put themselves in harm's way for God's man. Number eight. This is the last one. Number eight. They used their home. Here's Aquila and Priscilla. They used their home for church meetings. Look here. You're in Romans 16. Look at verse 5. You're there. Romans 16, verse 5. Do you see it? Likewise, greet the church that is in where? Their house. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 19. It says, Aquila and Priscilla salute you. They greet you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. So in Ephesus and in Rome, they use their home for the church to meet in. And the home of Aquila and Priscilla, it was always open for the brothers and sisters of Christ to come. Now, we have church buildings today. They're very nice. They're very clean. We're so glad to have them. But it is no substitute for a home that can be used for God. You not only can use your home, you can use all the other things that you have. I love the fellow down in Hutchinson. He has a barn. You guys know what a barn is? Oh, I'm in big trouble if Kansas don't know what a barn is. I mean, this thing didn't even have heat in it. We had meetings out there in the winter one time, and people were cold. We told them to bring their gloves and bring their coats, and hopefully it'll warm up after a while. And we were on some little country road, and here we are. We got somebody preaching in the barn. We even had some musicians come into the barn. And just he's using his barn for the Lord. I think of some of the first times I came up out here. There's a family in your church that has a little place out in the country. I think it's on a dirt road. We had a little picnic out there. You guys remember this place? You still go? Still go? You enjoy it? You guys, what do you guys call it? Your church picnic out there? What do you call it? Your fall picnic. I used to make those when I was around this area a little bit more. But here's somebody who used his property. And just let us come out and have a good time on it. And you have a lot of memories from out there. And so think about how you can use your home. I like the families that invite their neighbors, and this has happened a number of times. They invite their neighbors in their neighborhood to come over for a meal, and they invite me to come too. And they'll say to me, now, I want you to come, but eventually I want you to say something for God. Can you give me a testimony? Can you preach a little bit? I said, so you're bringing them over for a meal, and you want me to preach to them. He goes, that's exactly right. So they've been nice to their neighbors for a long time, and they're not going to turn down this invitation. And they, sure enough, they showed up, and we're all sitting around the table, and you wouldn't believe the kind of people that came in from the neighborhood. I mean, these are professionals. I'm going, wow, look at this guy's running the local school district. And I got to share the gospel with all the people in the neighborhood that came to that dinner that night. Now, what was the husband and wife at home concerned about in their neighbors? What were they concerned about? Were they concerned about how their house looked or the meal that they're going to have? What were their really concerns? What was their real concern? They were concerned about the souls of their neighbors. And they decided to do more than just invite them to church. They invited them to their home, and they made sure they invited a preacher to come and for me to make sure I gave the gospel to them. So you can do a lot in your home. I remember a lot of families when we'd have a little youth group, and they'd allow our youth group to come over to their home. You know, how many people want the youth group to come to your house? You know what a youth group can do to a home? You know what a youth group can do to a house? Some of these kids, they ain't had no training. They spill drinks. I mean, we were over at somebody's house, and they were fooling around, and the Kansas wind came through, caught the front door. Front door went too far. Broke the glass out of it. They had just put the door in. And, you know, they didn't get upset about it. Of course, the church did pay for the door. But they were just glad to have the young people over at their home. Folks, what I'm trying to say to you is here's a couple who used what they had for God. You might have some things in your life. You say, well, I don't know if these things can be used or not. Why don't you ask God, God, how can I use these for your kingdom and glory, and watch how God will use them? Did you know if you have a boat, you can even use your boat for God? Hello? You get people out in the boat, they can't go nowhere. I can't tell you how many times I've been invited to go on a fishing trip, but I was fishing for something else. So you got to think this way. If you're thinking ministry, if you're thinking Great Commission, if you're thinking about the work of God, you'll see things different. You'll use your things different. And this is what this couple, this Aquila and Priscilla, they were a different couple, weren't they? But God pointed them out to us. And what you end up doing is using your home, you use your resources. What you're really doing is you're laying up treasures where? In heaven. How are we using our resources? Those things that we have in our hands, those things that we own, how are we using our resources for the kingdom of God? One day we're going to leave this world, yes or no? And what are you going to leave here on earth? What are you going to leave? A lot of stuff's going to go to Goodwill. Do you know that? All those treasures you paid a lot of money for, there's other people who don't care anything about those treasures, including your family. All those clothes you shopped so diligently for, somebody's going to use them for shop rags. All that stuff you built up, you got all this kind of stuff, somebody else is going to get. But whatever you've done for Christ and whatever you've used for Christ, you've already sent ahead. Resources used for God. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be what? And whosoever will save his life shall what? You're going to lose it. But whoever gives his life and whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's sake shall find it. So I think there's a lot of lessons we can learn from Aquila and Priscilla.